This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Love Sport Radio, a very good evening. Seems like you only did this a couple of days ago. I'm George Riley, back with you on Love Sport. You can get involved at Love Sport Radio on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. The number if you want to send us a WhatsApp at any time tonight, 0208 7020 558. It is the Charlton Fan Show and we are here between 7 and 8 o'clock this evening with a heck of a lot to get through. With me in the studio, Paul Sullivan and Ollie Cook to take us up to 8 o'clock. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, George.
How are you? Want to start with a bit of positivity, start with a bang. It's not always that easy, though, is it?
Especially not this week. No, not at all. I mean, we're doing a bit of analysis out there with Paddy, our producer, on the goals that we conceded against Blackburn. And both very preventable, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. The ease that young fella, John Buckley, just went across there, evaded the rather flimsy tackle of our new boy, Aidan McGeady, took a deflection and went in. Some argument for the second goal that the free kick that they got shouldn't have been a free kick.
Why not?
Don't think it was a foul on our boy. I mean, there'd been calls up to then about the... inadequacies of that referee on the day.
Oh, right.
And it was a lot of moans when it was given.
To be fair, we did get lucky a little bit earlier. I think it was a bit earlier when Pierce brought that fella down the box, which, I mean, for me, it was a stonewall penalty.
Well, I had a look at it, and initially I felt the guy gave Pierce a little bit of a tug. So that's kind of what started it. But yeah, I know where you're getting at.
He got his arm across his legs, and I think in all sports apart from rugby, that's a foul. So I think we got away with one there. It's pretty much a penalty.
Sometimes it's a foul in rugby, depending on the code. Speaking as a rugby league enthusiast myself.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. But that first 10, 15 minutes, you know, we started brightly. It was a good start. But, you know, once Blackburn got that foothold, I just felt they were in control. It was a typical Tony Mowbray side. Yeah. No glitz, no glamour. Just got the job done. And the second half, I just felt they just eased back on the gears. We had a few chances, but I never really felt we were going to get back into it.
So those goals came, just looking down the chronology of the match, Charlton 0, Blackburn 2. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that if you're tuning into the Charlton Fan Show. But the goals came 29-37. You've already highlighted a decent 15, decent opening 15.
It was a decent opening, yeah.
We've got a second 15 before the goal went in. So was the tide starting to turn? Were you thinking, hang on a minute, something's coming here or not?
Yeah, it's just the sort of, the old story sometimes with some of our matches this season. It's just that final pass that in the last third, usually. And Lee Bowyer alluded to the fact that it was a big game on the day. There was 25,000 there. We were doing this football for a fiver. And I just feel we always miss a trick. I think this is the fifth, sixth time we've done football for a fiver and we've lost a game. And you'd think... Matt Southall, our new chief executive, who fronts up the new owners, he would have been getting in the ear perhaps of Lee Bowyer and say, this is a great opportunity now to really pump up the boys. We've just beaten Forest and, you know, we've got a chance now to get bums on seats and get the punters in.
Well, how do you know he didn't? He might have done, and it might have been stage fright.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yeah. We've seen it a few times with some of our players. Last season at Wembley, let's say, you know, Naby Sarr, he didn't really turn up. I mean, he scored an own goal, so definitely didn't turn up very well. It's just, it's sometimes big days for some of our players that gets in their heads. We've got some, you know, more experienced players. Now that Aidan McGeady's one of them now, he played in that game as well. And Darren Prattley does very well in those sort of games. But we do have a young squad. And with a young squad, a big crowd around them really does seem to make an impact. So when it's a bit more empty and, you know, we've got backing behind them, but it's not packed out like that, you get the best out of those players. But, you know, last time out, they seemed to get nervous and they didn't seem to, you know, play the way we know they can.
Yeah, Lee Bowyer mentioned that, and he actually said, you know, perhaps the likes of Doughty was affected, young lad on the wing in front of the big crowd. I mean, it was an awful day.
It sounds
as if we're starting to add up all the excuses here.
We had that on Monday night on the fan shows, talking about the conditions. I think it's absolutely right to raise it, but there's two teams on every single football pitch.
Yeah. Blackburn had to play in Storm Dennis, didn't they?
It's not sunny in the other half of the pitch, is it?
But how about we get a more an objective view, George?
I don't think that's possible, is it?
Well, we've got Paddy, our producer. he came along. It was great to have him. So it was good company on the day, but bad weather, but bad performance. But what did you think, Paddy?
Yeah, it was inevitable that you were lacking a leader out there. And as you say, Darren Prattley was missing. Is he missing through injury, guys, or what's the story?
No, he's just being rested. Basically, it's a chance now that we've got a lot more players back. So at Forest last week, he was left out. And Lee Bowyer chose to do the same.
You were all mentioning there that this was a game that there was 25,000 at it. Maybe this was a game you should have had your leader there, because he surely would have G'd up the players.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
He's got his head screwed on, but he's 35 and played 20 games in a row, and he didn't come for that. So I don't think it's a bad thing he sat out, because Jason Pearce usually is a leader on the pitch, but he had a bit of a poor game as well.
It's awful, just overthinking everything, even just with clearing simple balls. He was overthinking, looking over his shoulder left, right and centre all the time, and messing up. And that's what it was. There was just no clear direction with the play. And as well, you were playing out from the back. I remember you were saying this to me, Paul. This is something that Lee Bowyer wants to instill into the team.
Yeah,
but it's not working.
No, but it's the way he wants to go forward. That's the way he plays the games. And as we mentioned on Saturday, when you've got people like Jason Pearce and Tom Lockyer, they don't instill confidence. And when they're on the ball, you feel nervous. And we even feel nervous with Naby Sarr. But the last couple of games, Naby Sarr has come to the fore.
Just
and you say, you felt he was one of our best players,
the best
didn't
player,
you?
Just so confident on the ball. Even when you thought he was going to concede maybe a penalty or a goal in the box, he just did this little turn and cleared it straight away. Very, very good performance. Very confident. And he can put in a long ball as well. I think, remember, you were praising him for the Nottingham Forest result, that you wanted him to sign a new contract. He played so well. But
well,
this
that's
is
right.
It. Lee Bowyer looks at playing off in the back, but any time he tried Route 1 football, gents, it worked and he nearly scored. Lyle Taylor had several chances.
He did, yeah. But you said afterwards that despite the poor performance, you feel definite in your own mind that Charlton won't get relegated. So you saw enough for you to come up with that conclusion.
There's enough of talent there, especially down that left-hand side with Alfie Doughty.
Alfie Doughty, yeah.
Amazing performance. He's your key moving ball forward. If you want to play out from the back, he's your man that can get it up forward. You should definitely pass it over to that left-hand side, because the right-hand side is your Achilles tendon, really. Really, you're very weak at that side, and that's where all the goals came from as well.
And may I ask, what did you think of your Irish / Scottish compatriot, the home debut of Aidan McGeady?
Bit of flashes here and there, but you can obviously see he's not up to scratch with the league as in fitness yet.
Yeah, of course.
Give him a few weeks, and I think he's a decent foot in him, decent skills to get past players. I think he'll do well for you. I think he will. Well, it won't be a key in the season, but I'm sure he'll score a few goals left or here and there that will keep you up.
Indeed.
There you go. That's objective. We're staying up. That's outside.
Yeah. Can I ask, by the way, I'm the new boy here. This is my second show on Love Sport Radio, and already my producer has been on air more than me. How on earth has this happened?
Well, Paddy always features on the Man United show on a Sunday evening as well.
Is that right?
To say, and quite rightly so, because his views are enjoyed by many out there.
Awesome, thank you very much.
And you told me he took you out for a few beers afterwards. Was that so he could get on this show tonight?
Always thinking ahead.
Always, but it just occurred to me, we must get Paddy on, because it's nice to get an objective view, and Paddy didn't pull any punches. You know, he basically said we weren't really up to scratch on Saturday, and I can only agree with him. I was really disappointed that Paddy still hasn't seen the best that Charlton can offer.
And why I made that Darren Prattley analogies, because I saw him against Sheffield Wednesday and he was literally your motor in that team. He had everything going. You could see him pointing around different parts of the pitch. He was just basically controlling everything, and that's what you missed. And you were saying Pierce is usually that second in command then that can get everything going, because he didn't show that the weekend.
No, he didn't actually on the day, which is weird, because you can see him at corners, you can see him when attacking or defending corners, yelling at players, trying to get people in position. He's a captain on the pitch. He's the man organising everything, and it just, for some reason against Blackburn, he decided not to, which is, it's a real shame, because Jason Pearce is that man. Every club he's been at, he's been the captain. You can tell that when he's on the pitch, that he is a captain and a leader, and he just decided Blackburn's not the day I'm going to be a leader.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely our warrior, and you know, he loves a battle. I probably used quite a cruel word on the day, agricultural.
Oh, you wouldn't.
Yeah. Is that cruel?
I was called that in my day. Still am, actually.
But Paddy, I'm glad you picked up that Naby Sowell was a fun player to watch, because honestly, he's such good value for money. He makes my season ticket absolutely worth it, because when the ball comes to him, you don't know if he's going to score a goal, score an own goal. It could be either way. He's brilliant. He's absolutely value for money. If he gets a new contract, I'll be celebrating that like a goal.
But has he always been that confident on the ball? He's just a breath of fresh air. Didn't bother him if there was two or three players trying to hustle him off the ball. He still cleared it. He still managed it. And the feet work, or the footwork as well, by him.
Yeah, absolutely. He's always been that confident, but it's not always paid off. And that's why he's great value for money.
I think we've stumbled across a really good new feature, actually. Take a neutral to one of your games.
Yeah,
and
that's
good. Get the passionate truth on the fan show the following week.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I think that's great.
Well, I'm taking Charlie Hawkins to the Charlton Millwall game in April, so we'll see what he's got
to say. That'd be an interesting one.
Yeah.
Work rate. Someone said agricultural just now. Work rate. Lee Bowyer said, or he was asked when he did, my players work hard enough. He said, absolutely, yes, they did. Did you think they did?
Work rate wise?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always there.
So it's lack
Charlton.
Of quality.
Yeah, lack of quality. And As he said, maybe they were nervous. I just felt maybe lethargic. I mean, another thing that annoyed me, George, was, and it seems to be endemic in football these days, rotation. So we played brilliantly at the City Ground last Tuesday night, and they've always got to start tinkering. And Osthuma was one of our best players against Forest last Tuesday night. All right, we brought in a capable replacement in Aidan McGeady, but I'm old school. Keep a winning team.
I completely agree. I think more so in the lower league. I mean, Premier League, I don't get rotation. You're playing once a Saturday. You play your best team. When it's Tuesday, Saturday, a little bit more so. Maybe. But what my view on this is, right? Talk to them. If you're the manager, look, do you need a rest? Do you want a rest? No, I want to play.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine any player will say, no,
exactly,
I don't want to play.
That's a good point, because if you ask a player directly, it's up to you. I'm thinking of maybe resting you. What do you think? They're definitely going to say, I want to play.
Who's going to say, I'll go with that. I'll take a break, boss.
But that's the thing. Then no one's going to say no in that team. No one's going to say, I want to sit out, I want to take a break. So he's got to make that decision. And he decided, you know, these players, Prattley and others we were mentioning, that are going to need to sit out for a little bit. Because if he asked Darren Prattley, are you, you know, too tired to play? He's always going to say no. And he can't risk practically going on that pitch and not having the legs for it.
Well, I can't imagine any player who would say, actually, maybe Paul Pogba. I would quite fancy taking a break. Yeah. I mean, the only
6 or 7 months, perhaps.
Yeah. And don't call me. I don't call my agent either. We'll call you. I think the only thing on this is, are you all right? Have you got an injury? Because players, we know, and I know a lot of players, I'm sure you do, that it's only when they retire they say, I used to play injured. And it's if we can get our players to be honest, if you've got a niggle, that's the only time you need to have that conversation. Actually, you better not play next week.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I think
in
terms of fatigue and endurance. Oh, we've got a caller, by the way, on Love Sport, 0208 7020 558. You can get involved at Love Sport Radio. Ahmed's a Charlton fan. Talk us through your view, Ahmed, of the weekend result, and what did you make of it all?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it was a gallant schooling gutting display. You know,
the 3 G's.
The 3 G's. We definitely had the chances to have got something out of the game. That was the difference. We gave them two goal leads with soft goals that we didn't defend properly. Then we had enough chances to have got something out of the game and didn't take them. So really, that's how I saw it. I mean, I think the interesting point was the 5-3-2 didn't work to start with, and then he changed it to the diamond, and that didn't really work either, unfortunately.
Yeah, Ahmed, it's good to speak to you again, by the way.
All right, cheers, yeah, thank you.
There was a bit of rotation from the from previous games that may have had a bit of an effect. Who do you think we're missing most? Who would have made the biggest difference on that pitch had they played?
Johnny Williams. McGeady is no Johnny Williams yet, unfortunately.
No, I suppose that's fair.
I think he hoped he'd get much more out of McGeady, but he didn't really... He didn't really get himself into that game, really, to get started. And Williams, with that freak injury, just bad luck, he wasn't playing.
Yeah, another injury, Ahmed.
And also, sorry to interrupt,
no
but also because Williams got injured, that may have disrupted the work he'd been doing all week for the game as well, possibly, in terms of his planning.
Well, that's a good point, Ahmed. I mean, you don't know, they're all gearing up to a certain game all week, and then, you know, things are all upset with someone pulling out. And I can't believe Johnny Williams is injured again. I mean, this is just freakish, isn't it?
Well, apparently it was a freak injury in training, basically. He turned his ankle over in the most extraordinary way.
I think Macaulay Bond fell on him or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, the thing is, if it's going to happen to anyone, it happened to him.
His lesson now when he's going to tackle Macaulay Bond.
I know. and looking ahead to Saturday, Ahmed, a lot of people are calling for Bond to be up front with Taylor. Would you agree with that?
I do 100%, yeah. I think he's a real goal threat, and Taylor obviously is a goal threat. So, yeah. I'm hoping he won't play the diamond. I'm hoping he's going to play the 5-3-2 or 3-5-2, whatever you want to call it, because I think that gives you a bit more up front, a bit more attacking power, especially if you can get Green in as well.
Indeed.
In some capacity.
Well, here's one for you, Ahmed, because obviously, let's say they put two up front, we put Bond and Taylor up front behind them. You're going to have that creative player, which usually would be Johnny Williams, but obviously he's injured. So we've got a choice of Osttuma or Aidan McGeady. Now, Osttuma obviously very skillful, but quite weak against quite a physical side. So who would you rather have in that place?
I think you're missing the point I was making. I think Green is also a candidate for that option as well, because he's got a real goal threat. McGeady, I think with him at the moment, I think he needs to come off the bench if he's going to be used later on when we need to use him to use his skill and power against a tiring back four. I don't think he should start at the moment. He's not ready.
Oh, mate, cheers for the call, mate. Have a good night.
Yeah, cheers. Thank you very much.
Good speech to you. It is Love Sport 0208 70 20 558. It's the Charlton Fan Show. George Riley with you tonight alongside Paul Sullivan and Ollie Cook and a bit of producer Paddy as well when he fancies it. It is. We're here till 8 and it's 19 minutes past 7.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Yeah, it's the Charlton Fan Show. Paul Sullivan, Ollie Cook and me, George Riley. We were talking during the adverts about failed football careers. Well, I was. Anyway, where are you from? I'm from Leeds. Yeah, almost. Well, not almost. I was 15 and I was rubbish. They said I was too small. If they'd have been honest and said you were rubbish, it would have been a lot easier to get over.
Would have been nicer, yeah.
But, Jules, why did you give up? Did you not give yourself a go in non-league and try and get back up that way?
You know what? I kind of... Because I got that setback at that age when I was a teenager, and I remember having a conversation with my dad. I said, Dad, I'm not enjoying it anymore. And he wasn't a pushy parent. And he said, if you're not enjoying it, don't do it. And at the time, that was kind of what I wanted to hear, so I just stopped going. Yeah. And then I went off to university and started drinking and then forgot about football. Yeah. And now I'm playing for Sunday League at 41 and going around hacking people around on a really rubbish pitch. But no, you're right. In hindsight, I would have loved to have gone and given it a go somewhere else. But everyone's got a failed footballer story like that. Haven't they, really?
Well, in my seven-a-side team, we had the old Chelsea youth captain, and his career was tragically cut short by beers and burgers, and you can't predict these sort of things. But he's our best player by a mile. He doesn't run, but he just shoots from distance.
You can always tell. You can always tell, no matter whatever level you play, and I think a lot of it, well, in this studio and everyone listening tonight will have played or is playing football at a certain level. I think you can always tell someone who has been coached well. I mean, I'm rubbish now, but everyone still says, I can tell you must have played somewhere at some point. Because technically you can tell how you've been coached, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I was nowhere near your levels, but I mean, a mate of mine who's ex-footballer, I said to him, why did I not make it, John? And he just said, pace, because you can't run fast enough. I felt I had all the silky skills and could put a ball on a sixpence.
Yeah.
But if you haven't got pace in this game, it's
very
few. It
depends where you play.
Well, yeah.
Jan Mulby did all right.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. But it's a massive ingredient to lack, I feel, if you're trying to make it into the game.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you only have to look at players like Michael Owen who lost the pace and then that was pretty much career over. Anyway, Charlton Fan Show, let's not get sidetracked by talking about our failed football careers.
It's getting sad though, isn't it?
Oh dear.
Yeah, maybe we should extend the show and just talk about ourselves. Charlton Invicta received the Grassroots Football Awards, the inaugural Football Homophobia Awards. I think that was Friday.
Friday, February the 7th it was, yeah.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, Charlton Community Trust have always been at the forefront of anything inclusive, you know, diversification. So, you know, basically we've got this team now called Charlton Invicta who represent the LGBTQ community. And Gary, who's coming on, is obviously going to just have a chat about the award ceremony that they recently attended. But on Saturday, we actually dedicate a match day to football against homophobia.
And that's the Luton game that's coming Saturday.
Absolutely, yeah. So I think this is the fourth or fifth occasion that we've been doing it, and it's going to be bigger and better, and there's all sorts of things going on. So hopefully Gary can tell us a little bit more about what to expect.
Well, the Gary is Gary Gunnor, who is the player manager of Charlton Invicta. Good evening, Gary.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Oh, great to have you on. Tell us a little bit more about this. Obviously, you've heard the outlines there from Paul, but you've been so heavily involved in this. Tell us about the work you do in the aim of that, and a bit about the awards itself.
Yeah, so I mean, the team was originally set up in 2011 under the name of Bexley Invicta, and I've been sort of working quite closely with the head of Equality, Diversity and Inclusion at the China Flint Community Trust since 2016. And in 2017, you know, after sort of lengthy discussions, the trustees at the Community Trust proposed that they formally affiliate Invicta and sort of take us under their wing and become a part of the sort of community teams that they run. And in the process, we became the first ever formally affiliated LGBT-friendly team to a professional football club trust. And since then, other teams have sort of done similar. You know, so I mean, we know when you spoke about the community trust and the fact that they've always been sort of pioneers for equality and inclusion, and, yeah. And this just goes to show that they are leading the way, and it's fantastic to be a part of that. You know, we work really hard on and off the pitch to try and promote a safe and inclusive and friendly environment, and we want. I mean, I was listening to you guys just now in terms of your own football stories, which is quite interesting. And,
yeah,
it's.
A bit, you know, self-obsessed, but there you go.
Yeah, that's fine, you know. But, you know, if you play football because you enjoy it, and yeah. We want to make sure everybody enjoys
that's it.
That's but also it. That everybody gets the opportunity. And, you know, we've got a complete mix at the team. It's 50% of straight players and 50% that identify as LGBT. And that means that those allies that are coming along to training on a Tuesday night or to playing games, we're impacting their lives, but also their family and friends that come and watch as well are being impacted. And so we are, you know, in terms of affecting the local community, it's we're making a bold statement. And to get recognised in the Football versus Homophobia Awards under the Grassroots category just goes to show that the work that's gone in is actually being recognised by bodies. And it's a campaign that I've felt really passionately about over the last sort of 5 or 6 years. Invicta have supported the campaign since 2014. It's basically a month of action every year that's dedicated to just dedicating a game or a tournament or, you know, any sort of opportunities you possibly can to promote football versus homophobia, and to have professional football clubs as well dedicate games up and down the country. It's just fantastic. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely, and the entire club is behind it. You see it, you know, on Twitter and statements they release, you know, always talking about Invicta, and especially this weekend. Matt Southall's been talking about Invicta and the trust as well quite a lot. Have you had much interaction with him? I know the new owners or anything at all, and how behind are they? You know, this movement and what we're doing in the trust.
Yeah, I think in terms of Matt Southall, I mean, I know he sort of tweeted a few things. I was at one of the sort of fan forum sort of meetings a few weeks ago where we actually got to meet him, which was, you know, real honour for me. I think he's really passionate about the club, both on and off the pitch, and I think everybody that's a Charlton fan can see that there's a real passion and desire to make change and to drive the football club forward. But also in terms of the work that's done in the local community. And the club have recently appointed a head of EDI at the football club. which I think just goes to show just how seriously they take the importance of equality, diversity and inclusion work. You know, we've been sort of working closely in terms of like a sort of sub sort of committee, and I think that's really, really positive steps. The club has been running, so the club and the trust have been running equality, diversity and inclusion training for all staff members, as well as external courses. And one thing that we're quite keen on is that we're actually going to get all the Invicta players to sort of run the same or undertake the same EDI training in the coming weeks, which will be led by the community trust, which is I think a fantastic step.
Now, Gary, it's rather apt that we've got you on today because it's the actual birthday of Justin Fashinu. He would have been 59 today, and it's great to hear that he's been inaugurated into the Hall of Fame at the National Football Museum. I mean, obviously, Charlton have always been at the forefront of issues like this. I mean, I know we were runners-up, I think it was to Tottenham at the awards the other week up at Accrington Stanley's ground. But, I mean, two-part question. One, how many other clubs do you think are involved like Charlton and Tottenham are, and you can let me know what the numbers are there. And in reality, how hard is it tackling homophobia in football today?
I think, firstly, I mean, there's so many clubs up and down the country that are involved not only in supporting the Football versus Homophobia campaigns, but also supporting like Rainbow Laces, which runs once a year. But they've also, I think there's about 52 LGBT-friendly supporters groups that are you know, directly linked with professional football clubs up and down the country. And I think that just goes to show that the sort of movement that's increased over the last sort of 5 or 6 years since the first ones were launched. Proud Valiant, the Charlton Athletic LGBT supporters group, I think were the seventh one to be set up. And obviously at the time, I think we were on the downward spiral from the Championship. I think it's quite important to note that, you know, there's so many bigger clubs with a bigger income that aren't sort of promoting this sort of work. So it's quite, for me personally, as a lifelong Charlton fan, I think it's quite inspiring that my boyhood club is completely behind making a difference. Mm. You know, as you said, they've always been sort of pioneers, and you know, I've grown up at the Valley every year with a sort of kick it out dedicated game, and the players used to come out with the t-shirts on. And you know, I'd like to think we've come so far in the fight against racism, although it seems to have sort of gone backwards over the last sort of 18 months. Yeah. But this is the big thing at the moment. You know, we have to remember that we have a job to promote inclusion in football, and everyone has to feel safe, especially in the stadium when you've got, hopefully we'll start getting sort of 25,000-27,000 every week, but when you've got that many people there, we want to make sure that everybody feels part of it. You know, I mean, I'm openly gay, and I struggled to come to terms with my sexual orientation, but when I was at the Valley, that was my sort of safe place, because no one would ask me any questions, because I was just there to watch the team that I loved, and it didn't matter whether I was gay or straight.
Indeed. And I mean, at the start of this season, there was all sorts of rumours that there was going to be a breakthrough made. It was rumoured that a professional footballer was going to come out, and then that all petered out. I mean, what was your thoughts on that? I mean, would you welcome a player? Because just look at the numbers. I don't know, what's there? 2,000-3,000 professional footballers in our game. And if you just took, I don't know, 1-2%, there must be a minimum of 20-odd players who are homosexual. And just for one of those guys to come out, I mean, that would be a great breakthrough.
How important is that still, Gary? Or is that part of the kind of the weird celebrity culture that we have, that we just want to know? Oh, there's someone going to come out. Oh, who is it? And we're trying to guess and we want to know, which is just absolutely irrelevant.
Yeah, I suppose it's a bit of both, really. I mean, I think, you know, for me personally, I mean, I remember when you know, all the articles with Justin Fashinu in the newspapers, and I think I was actually 15 at the time when he obviously committed suicide. And you know, at the time I knew myself that I was gay, but I hadn't come out, and I just sort of thought to myself, I'm never going to be able to do this. You know, if somebody like that can't be openly gay, how on earth am I going to be? And I think for a young guy or girl growing up, I think just to have a role model and somebody that's willing to say, do you know what, this is me, take it or leave it, I think would be really inspiring for that next generation. But at the same time, we shouldn't be pushing people to come out, because, you know, ultimately this is their workplace. You know, in any other workplace, in the world, it's completely acceptable to be LGBT. Apart from football, it just seems to have this stigma that you can't play football and also be from the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. But we just have to make sure, with campaigns like Football versus Homophobia and the work that the Charlton Athletic Community Trust and the football club do, we just have to make sure that football is a welcoming and inclusive environment. If somebody decides that they want to put themselves out there, then it's ready to accept them. But we shouldn't be pushing them to come out.
Can I just ask you, Gary? I mean, you've outlined that so well and quite powerfully with the Justin Fashanu story. When he took his life, and you thought, "Well, blimey, if he can't come out, you knew you were gay. What chance have I got?" What changed, or what has changed for you to now be so comfortable?
I think I'm a little bit older. I think I'm at that point where I don't really care, to be honest. I mean, I'm who I am. I'm proud of who I am. You know, I said it at the FVH Awards a couple of weeks ago that I think a lot of people, there's probably harder places to grow up in the country, but I think a lot of people forget that the southeast and sort of further out into Kent can be quite a difficult area to be, to just be different. Not so much just being LGBT, but just being different. And you know, I'm proud of my roots. I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud to be a Charlton fan. And you know, I'm going to be 37 in a week's time, and I don't care what people think about me, because I love football. I like to think I'm a pretty decent footballer. And I love Charlton, and I'm openly gay. And if people don't like that, then they're not people that I really want associated with me.
Good on you, Gary. Need more people like you in the world, in my opinion. Great speaking to you tonight. And
thanks, Gary.
Well done on the award.
3 points.
Yes. we'll talk more about the Luton game in the next half hour. We'll get the opposition view from a Luton Town fan. It is the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Paul Sullivan, Ollie Cook and George Riley with you at 7:35.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
Love Sport Radio, great to have your company tonight. George Riley, Paul Sullivan, Ollie Cook. We'll be talking to our Luton Town fan, Jack Smith, about the next game in just a moment. We've got plenty to cover prior to that, gentlemen. And not least, a new 3-year contract for Johnny Jackson. How significant is that bit of news?
Oh, it's great news as well. Making sure that we got long-term contracts for the coaching staff is the first thing, the first step to securing players. Players are joining Charlton because of Lee Bowyer, and we're finding those players because of Steve Gallen, and they've both been given long-term contracts. And now the assistant manager, Johnny Jackson, a legend at the club, a hero for everyone, and I think probably one of my favourite ever Charlton moments was his header against QPR. To give him more time at the club and give him security going forwards, I mean, that's huge for everyone.
Yeah, and I think we've got a little clip of an interview that Johnny did at the weekend, and telling us how excited he is all about it.
Yeah, pretty pleased. Obviously, Lee signed a few weeks ago now, so I've been keen to get it sorted. You know, once Lee had signed on, it was something I wanted to tie up, and yeah, it's taken a little while, but thankfully we got there and got it all signed.
It feels like since January with the takeover of the club and all that kind of stuff, it's sort of building blocks bit by bit, isn't there, to set us on our way to what we hope is going to be a pretty good and exciting like next couple of years, really.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully it's just going to build on, you know, what we done last year. I think we put the building blocks in place then. Trying to continue it on this year. Obviously stay in the division and build from there. Yeah, new owners coming in January with some high hopes for the football club about that, what they want to do, and they said that they want us to be part of that, so and they've shown that by offering us the new deals, and yeah, hopefully it's onwards and upwards from here.
From you personally, it's now been 10 years since you first walked through the door here at Sparrows Lane, so it's sort of the love affair continues.
Yeah. I've said it a million times. It's been a massive part of my life, this football club, and I hope it continues to be that way for many years to come. Been great for me personally. You know, massive love for the club. I've been here for, you know, like 10 years now, so long. So feel like part of the furniture, really, and didn't want that to end. So to get my future, you know, the next couple of years sort of secure and signed on was great.
Johnny Jackson, he speaks, gents, in the kind of considered manner that he played his football, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he's actually kind of the opposite to. So he's quite calm and considered on the pitch. He's like a wise head, a captain, a leader. But when he's on the touchline, he completely loses yeah. that and loses his head. Whereas Lee Bowe is the exact opposite on the pitch. He's quite a feisty person.
Animal.
But he's as calm as like a Buddhist monk on the touchline. He's like, it's
I reckon
weird,
that'll crack at some point, you know. When he gets the hang of this management, like, yeah. I think that mask will slip with Bowe.
Yeah, yeah, as really Ollie says, he's very, very calm with the players. The only time he loses his rag is with the fourth officials.
Yeah, it's and, a terrible job,
and also with a gentleman called Steve Evans last season. He did lose it with him.
Well, we've all done that. Yeah. We've all lost it with Steve Evans. That's probably a show for another night. How as fans do we kind of know? And you both said how pleased you are that he's signed. How do we know what an assistant manager does and how good a job they're doing? With Lee Bowe, it's obvious because you've got the results to look at and you've got the performance of the players. How do you go through that process with the assistant?
I think Johnny Jackson's role mainly is the fact that he lives and breathes Charlton. That he's been at the club for so long, he came to us. I think they tweeted it was today. How many years ago?
Yeah, 10 years ago.
He signed for Charlton, and he's completely embodied the club. He's been an absolute leader on and off the pitch. He's been through the tough times. He's been through the good times. He's been there for every player who's come in, and he understands exactly what makes his club special. So the reason that he's here is to make sure anyone who joins the club understands that as well. And I think he does a great job of it. He's an absolute hero.
Sounds like you're thinking of him as a future manager.
Yeah, I'd love that. I think he'd maybe one day, if he gets all the badges and he shows that he's got the tactical knowledge, that if he's a manager, imagine JJ as a manager, that would be amazing.
Well, he hasn't hidden that desire. He definitely would like to become the manager, and I think he'd like to become
the
Charlton
Athletic
manager.
There's some players like that. You knew as soon as Frank Lampard left Chelsea, he'd be back as manager.
Yeah, one day.
It's the same with Steven Gerrard. He'll be Liverpool manager.
Exactly, yeah. And he's our version of that, I suppose, in a number of ways. He's our captain, he's our leader, he's our legend.
But we've been lucky to have great insights here on the Charlton Fan Show. We've had Johnny Jackson on the show a couple of times, and he's give us a little insight at how it all works with Lee Bowyer. We've had Steve Gallen, who's now a director of football but was head of recruitment. And now we've got Steve Gallen, Lee Bowyer, Johnny Jackson all tied up. Hopefully we'll get Andy Marshall, who's our goalkeeping coach, and he's a big part of that team. And the way they work together, it's just great. It reminds me of the old boot room at Liverpool with the Paisleys and Evans.
That's
and
quite a big parallel to draw.
It is, but, let's think and be big. Come on, let's do it.
You know what that reminds me of, the current state? It reminds me of the boot room at Anfield. We've only got 15 minutes, so Conjure, there's loads more I want to get through. Lucas Ness signing on from the Met Police, wasn't on duty with them, but playing with them.
Well, it's worth pointing out that with the Met Police
now... Don't think
now,
he was, anyway.
Yeah, I don't think there's any policemen who play for the Met Police now.
But, that's a shame.
But we got hold of this young lad. He's just turned 18. There's a little bit of maybe controversy because the Met Police weren't able to get a contract sealed or any official compensation. So they are relying on Charlton to perhaps be a little bit generous.
Right. They're not going to come and arrest someone, are they?
Well, maybe. But obviously the Met Police FC have played a big part in his development, and he's definitely one for the future. I think
he was at Leicester, wasn't he?
He was on trial at Leicester. Brendan... Rogers was taking a look at him. So he's definitely
Fulham had him as well, I think.
If
memory serves, might be wrong there.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah, so a defender, young lad, and certainly one for the future. I'll guess he'll start out in our under 23s and go from there.
Rumours of interest of a defender at Crewe.
Yes.
I don't know how to pronounce that name, though.
Perry Ng, I'm guessing.
Ng.
Just without
Ng,
it's
Ng. Two letters, NG.
Just without the I.
Yeah, it's Perry Ng. And, we've heard some rumours and things flying about, but I'm one of those people that, until it's happened, I won't listen to it because, literally one person can tweet, oh, we're going to sign this player, and then it becomes a rumour.
Yeah. Well, as a journalist, I know how those things happen.
You do it.
So, hang on a minute. Here we go. I'll tell you one thing about Perry Ng or Ng. NG. That's a great Christmas present if you want to get shirt printed.
Oh, very cheap. Let's hope he's like number two or something.
Charlton's players on loan at the moment? Shall we have a brief chat about that?
They're all doing quite well.
Health check on them?
Yeah, absolutely. So our Australian reserve keeper, Ashley Maynard Brewer, I think he got a man of the match down at Dover, who are operating in the National League. They did well, he did well, personally, game against Bath City. We've got Ben Dempsey out at Woking, mm-hmm. making a good contribution.
Yeah.
And a little bit sort of further down the scale, if you like, we've got a couple of players at Tilbury. Osagi, is it? The keeper.
Yeah, I can't remember. These are much younger players.
Yeah, but it just shows that we're farming them out, and they're gaining good experience. I mean, there was a bit of controversy about Alfie Morgan, about getting him out on loan. He was out at Gravesend and Northleat. Mm. That's the old name, isn't it?
It's Ebbsfleet United now.
I'm going back in there, and. Yeah, maybe he needs to go out on loan and get some game time. That Lee Bowie is very keen on that. Mm. But then we've got to weigh that up with the fact that, if we get our injuries again, we need the likes of Abbey to
It's a balance
step
between
in.
Having a big enough squad and having players get experience so that you can throw they're ready when you throw them in.
Exactly that. But I think Abbey Morgan's he's at a quality that he's actually could be in our first 11. He's got a lot about him that means he could be a championship player. So to send him out to non-league just to get kicks, and yeah, probably good for him, but he's good enough to play for us. So it's a tricky one, that one, because I do rate Morgan.
The museum opening Friday?
Yeah, indeed. Well, I think it's open most Fridays, but they wanted to make a big point of it because it's obviously half term week this week for the kids. So, if you're running out of ideas for doing things a half term, get yourself down to the Charlton Museum. Ben Hayes, who's been on the show, friend of the show, he makes a valuable contribution. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to see FA Cup winners' medals from 1947. And that's going to be a rare piece the way it's going at the moment. The FA Cup has become possibly extinct if these premiership players get their own their own way. And I think the trophy is still on view, our playoff final trophy, but I heard a rumour that they're taking that back soon.
If you want to see it, this might be your last chance to have a look at that playoff final trophy, so get yourself down the Charlton Museum.
And Charlton's women in action Sunday. They're up against Leicester City. They're not having a great season.
No, they have been struggling. I think they've got Leicester on Sunday down at Oakwood near Crayford. And they're about 8 points behind Leicester, but we've got three games in hand. But we are in a relegation struggle, so the women need some support down there, definitely.
Well, we've had an exciting season with the women. I mean, we actually, in the FA Cup, got Chelsea's ladies, who are one of the best in the world, and that's quite exciting. So it's been good so far, so definitely keep an eye on that.
And I think there's a chance to actually see the Charlton women at the Valley on March the 22nd. They're up against the London Bees.
Exciting.
It's the Charlton Fan Show. George Riley, Paul Sullivan, Ollie Cook for the next 10 minutes or so. We're looking ahead next to the next game, an opposition view from Luton Town. It's 12 minutes to 8. This is Love Sport Radio.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station. The Opposition View on Love Sport.
And the next opposition, is Luton Town, gentlemen.
Yes. I'm worried about this one.
Why?
Oh, don't be worried. They're rubbish.
It's all to do with... I love you, Ollie. I really do. It's that thing called momentum, George. They didn't get a clean... They hadn't had a clean sheet since mid-October. And then, like London Buses, two come along in their last two games.
Yeah, but do you remember last season when they're on probably the best run of all time? And they hadn't lost to anyone. They were knocking teams out of the park for fun. Then there comes the Valley, and what happens? They lose 3-1. So, form doesn't mean everything. Sometimes just the occasion can change things.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've pointed that out to your Luton friend. We hope to get on in a minute.
I mean, you can be in great form, but the facts remain, you've got the worst goal difference in the league and you're second bottom of it.
So there must be a reason for that.
And there must be a reason for that. Jack Smith is our Luton Town fan. I'm told that his phone line's absolutely rubbish, so... we'll give it a go. Evening, Jack.
Evening, how's it going?
Oh, that doesn't sound too bad.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, it's getting slightly worse.
Sorry about that.
What are your thoughts? I mean, the gents just said, oh, perhaps not feeling too optimistic ahead of the weekend. How are you feeling about it?
I mean, it's a huge game. I think it's the best time of our season to play it, which is clearly like a decider. So who's going to get relegated? I think it's a clear case that our defence is bad, but your attack is worse. So we will see how it goes.
Jack, hi, it's Ollie. You've been telling me that you know, your biggest strength is your centre backs. They're fast, they're strong, they're, you know, they're brilliant. So how are we going to break them down?
Oh, right. If you've watched any Luton games this year, you know that if you put a cross deep towards the back post, we cannot defend it. So if Lyle Taylor's towards the back post, we may struggle, but I also know that you guys struggle apart from that. So I think that the run that we're on, two clean sheets, we've not had a clean sheet, like I said, since mid-October, I think we'll be all right. I think we're a big occasion team, like you are. It'll be a big game, but I think Collo up top, Pelly in the middle, I think you guys are going to struggle to contain them. Izzy Brown's back from fitness. It's a big game at the Valley. But I'm looking forward to it. We did you at the Kenilworth, 2-1.
All right.
And I think we'll do the same again.
Yeah, but Lyle Taylor weren't playing back in November, was he, Jack?
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. That's cute.
But what I will give you, Jack, is that, I mean, you've got this perfect momentum coming into the game. And also, it's worth mentioning, in that game against Sheffield Wednesday, there was a bit of resilience shown because Collins missed a penalty, didn't he, after about 14 seconds. Yeah. And then he bounced back brilliantly, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think we take five chances to score a goal, which I think against your defence will be okay. Resilience, you sound as surprised as I was that we bounced back from it. Look, it's a tough season. We've been promoted twice in the last 2 years. We're happy to be here. But, I mean, we're only 4 points out of it. We've got a huge run of games. We've got you guys. We've got Stoke. We've got Wigan. And we've got Brentford, who we've got pumped 7-0 by. So we'll skip that one. But the next four games for us are massive. If we can get half, we can get 7-9 points out of these next four games, we're big going into the end of the season.
And Wigan won at Elland Road, so they're clearly one of the best sides in the world.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think we all know Leeds are going to fall apart. Oh, so we're all waiting to watch and see that happen.
Mate, please. I've never met you, but you've not made a good start.
Now, Jack, just to perhaps bring you down a peg or two, these two sides that you've just played, let's face it, they're both out of sorts, Sheffield Wednesday and Middlesbrough. Now, if you play Charlton on Saturday and we play the way we did against Blackburn, yeah, you might have a chance. But if we play the way we did against Nottingham Forest, no chance. How do you feel about that?
I mean, we also beat Bristol City 3-0 this season as well. We've had some great games. We almost drew with Leeds at our place. I know it's only a draw, but any team on their day can beat any team in the Championship. We all know that.
Yeah.
I have a funny feeling that we're a big game team. I think we'll do you at your place, and I'm looking forward to it.
It's quite feisty, this opposition view today.
It's good to have some comedy on this show, Jack. It's great.
Ollie's written me a script, so I'm just reading off it at the moment, guys.
Jack, you know a bit about Charlton, mainly through me, but also because obviously you watch sport
good
all the time.
In January as well, guys. Appreciate that.
And so what do you fear mostly about this Charlton team? What do you think might be your Achilles heel on Saturday?
Well, it's definitely not the atmosphere in the stadium.
Oh, God. I think lying into us, isn't it?
No, what do I fear? Look, obviously, like I said, our defence can be shaky and we get nervous. Simon Sluger, our top ever purchase at 1.25 million, didn't keep a clean sheet for his first, God, must be 15, 20 games. He's got two in a row now. So I think if you guys get a chance at the back post, odds on you'll take it. So that's my main fear. If a deep cross comes in, then we're going to concede a goal.
Jack, I've got a serious question for you now.
Okay.
All right. Apparently, Jonathan Woodgate criticised Luton at the weekend for their time-wasting tactics. Admittedly, we did a bit of the same up at Forest. So both our teams are in a fight for survival. But as a fan, where do you stand on the dark arts of game management?
I mean, it depends where you are in the table, and it depends on the game that you're playing in. If you're scraping for points, and if you've not won back-to-back all season, or won away from home for 20 games, you do what you can to win. I'm not lucky enough to support the Cities and Liverpools and Uniteds of the world to be graced with a great football. 3 points are 3 points. I'll take that all day long in the Championship. If in 5 years' time we're doing well in leagues above and we're playing good football, then yeah, fair enough, I might complain about less teams doing that to get the win, but 3 points is 3 points. They do whatever they like. If they want to score one goal early doors, Colo get another penalty, and then we sit back 11, 12 men behind the ball for the rest of the game, I'm more than happy for that.
Jack, we're pretty much out of time. Quick prediction, mate.
2-1 Luton, Lyle Taylor to score the first, Colo and Pelly to score the winner.
Thank you very much. Go back to the pub. Gents?
Jack's obviously wrong. We're gonna win 3-0.
And I'll go for middle of the road, 2-2.
Oh, that's conservative.
2-2. it's been great having your company, gentlemen, for the last hour or so. It's absolutely flown by. I hope it goes well, by the way, and the big game. We've already discussed the importance of the game.
Indeed.
On Saturday, but I'm sure our paths will cross in due course. So enjoy the rest of your evening. And that game against Luton Town, Charlton versus Luton, is the next one on the agenda. That is next Saturday. It is 3 minutes to 8 o'clock on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.